What's your typical method of songwriting?
My typical method is two pieces. One, it's either a lyric that comes to me that somebody says, or that I see in a headline, or that I hear, or that I'm listening to something on the radio and I have a strong reaction and I say something. Mm-hmm. I think when you're used to writing a lot of writing lyrics, things sometimes come out with quite strong alliterations, or you'll have a more of a lyrical way of saying the things that you want to say because they seem to make sense that day. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, just something silly, but it's how I kind of sometimes speak, especially if I'm having a feeling. So I may be reacting to something on the television, and I'll get a line which will make me laugh, or I'll think is right or something, and then I'll go and sit at the piano with that one line, and I'll just put my hands on the piano, and I trust whatever key my hands go to. You know, I did something actually. I just took the time to write a song about Tomoko. So.
Okay.
I could play it for you, but it's really cute. And then I looked up what your name means in Japanese, and it means wise.
Can you make up something funny right now?
Yeah, sure. Just trusting what comes out. She wants funny, she wants silly, she's Tomoko. She's a character, that's for sure, she's Tomoko. She jumps up and down when she's not looking at herself, wondering why she's not on the shelf. She's Tomoko, beautiful lady. Tomoko, sweet child, she's wise, they say in Japanese. Tomoko, Tomoko.
Wow, I love it.
That was not the one I recorded earlier, for sure.
Genius. Thank you so much. I love this.
You know, Tomoko, I just want to plug shamelessly. I have a business called the Songbook Supper Club, where I sing online on Sundays live at 5. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday live at 5 Eastern Standard Time on Facebook. But I also have the Songbook Story Club, which is my podcast.
Yes.
But one of the business sides of both of those two things is called This Is Your Life in a Song. And what I do is I write songs for people for the stories of their lives based on the pictures and the incidents that the family or the loved ones will send me. And I make a montage video, and then I make a song up for them based on the type of music that they used to listen to or that they liked through the ages, maybe. But it's a parody of the song, of a song that they may know, or I make one up completely from scratch. And
what?
People love it. Yeah, it's so fun. It's so fun. You know, whenever you're at a wedding, you're like watching the montage of when they were little kids, and the mothers and the fathers, and everybody's crying. You don't really know these people. You might be somebody's date for the wedding, but you're like crying because it's the story of people's lives.
Right. Everybody has a story.
Every life has a story, and hopefully as a songwriter we're conduits, you know, we gather the information and it comes because of the who people are around us. And I mean, you know, I've only known you for a short while, but I get your vibe, and it's like, and hopefully that came out and that was juicy Tomoko juicy.
It was juicy.
That's you, you're juicy. Yeah, well, it's for you because I'm inspired by you. But, you know, I do believe that you can get inspiration from people that aren't even in your orbit. You don't even know. Once you know a little bit about them, like all I did was I looked up your name, what your name means in Japanese. And it was like, oh, yeah, of course she's called Tomoko.
Wow. So how different is it to make a musical?
The difference between writing a musical and writing, singer-songwriter songs is that there is the storyline. So you have to adhere to the storyline.
And right.
My storyline was written before I put the music in. I changed it up a bit because I heard different kinds of music and different stuff. But you have a basis of sound. So the basis of sound for my musical is like Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, mm-hmm. mixed with the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I ask people to audition in New York, normally they would audition on a standard musical theater song, you know, that kind of thing. But I asked them, I said, they have to come in and do a Beatles song. just to see and to make sure that they were like getting the, you know, the vibe. You know, quite rockin', stonky time. But it was set in 1875, so that was the time of Industrial Revolution, you know, all the factory sounds. So you had a lot of like, you know, like... When you're working hard around the clock, it's time for tea. You could say that we like it a lot because we drink it constantly. If it's 11 in the morning or it's after 3, you know where to come looking for me. Like that.
Yes.
That was partly like that, you know, Yellow Submarine kind of flavor. And then there were other things that were much more operatic, like, I am changed. Nothing in the world feels the same. I am changed. Everything is different. But changes-wise, all the changes are very, very much rooted in a little bit of the Gershwin kind of land.
Mm-hmm.
The sound, the melodies might be ba ba ba, which is
right.
Quite major 70, isn't it? But
yes.
it's like putting the styles together, like that locks you in. So you kind of have you getting in your car and you just got to kind of drive it to the next song destination because the storyline's there and the car is there.
Fabulous. Tell us about your silver voice method.
Well, I taught voice in New York for 22 years, and now I teach on Zoom or on Messenger. And that was something I did anyway when I was in New York, because a lot of my people were on tour, or they were in theater, or they were just, you know, they didn't have time to come down on the subway and get, you know, come back, go back, get makeup, whatever. So as I grew and my talent, you know, my stable kind of developed, we started using Skype and then Messenger, and Zoom is good because you can record it so they can have their lesson on recording. And I teach, you know, it started off as a natural voice method and I evolved it into a methodology that I wrote a book about, and I had a book to teach teachers how to teach what I teach. I had two teachers. They didn't stick around in the teaching mode. They just went off into different aspects. So, you know, I was hoping that it would become a world-known kind of thing. This is like before the internet. My notoriety, or my what people say about me is, and who I've taught, sort of leads the way, rather than me trying to be a Pear Bristow and go online and do a big deal thing. I'm just very happy with referrals. Because I know then the person's really like, they're not buying my selling, they're buying who they know I am because somebody else has done it.
Okay, so what's your signature? Give me one ingredient.
One ingredient of my signature method is something that's as old as the hills, and that is finding the yodel space. And that allows you to have your...
I learned that from a speech level singing.
Yeah, that's also very, very good. I like speech level singing too. But that's one of the keys that I love to use, because what we want to do is have as much flexibility in the voice as possible whilst recognizing that there are registration shifts. And how to manage the breath, in between that.
And smooth transitioning.
Yeah, and my gift is in teaching people around their song and their performance. So I don't call myself a coach because I'm a trainer, but because what I hear in the errors of their performance is often technical. Mm. And when you address the technical issue, when I address the technical issue, I hear emotionally sometimes where the block is.
Yes, always.
And I will be provocative about that and start asking questions whilst giving them technique. And so there's an uncovering of some old cellular shit, basically. And then there's the technique being put in past the block, which once it's a block or a break or an issue, it just gets cellularly impacted. And so you got to kind of work with both at the same time.
Right.
That makes very fast transformation. You know, people are like, how the hell did I do that? You know? So once you do it once, then you kind of retrain and remind and go back over the same steps whilst you're more conscious of, like, even, it doesn't even have to be real conscious words or anything, but it can be a nonverbal issue. Who knows?
I'm sure, because it's all mental. At the same time, a little bit of spiritual therapist.
Therapy. I mean, I did enough therapy to sink a ship, but it's also it's part of my intuition. I'm a coach. I'm a coaching type of personality. I would love to be a coach if there wasn't such a glut and such overwhelm, because that's what I do when I teach boys. It's all part and parcel of getting the students the next installment of their vocal, whatever they're looking for in the life, professional, enjoyment, whatever. Okay, I have a funny story about a Japanese student.
Okay.
She came from Tokyo with a translator, and she came to me, and she was studying that week with me, and she had three or four lessons. And we'd had one lesson, and on the second lesson, I was teaching her, and I had to speak. She spoke no English. And I had to speak to the translator, and I had my back to her, and she was talking to him in Japanese. I speak no Japanese. I say arigato. And then she's speaking to him, and I said to him with my back to them, I said, ask her if she's had strawberry cheesecake for lunch.
What?
And she screamed and fell on the floor, because she had. They'd just been to TGI Fridays.
And what? She had.
Because I could hear the cheesy mucus, that sort of ricotta type of cheese, it's just a sort of a sticky, icky, ticky, but moving mucus, not like the same kind of
mucus. Are you serious?
Cheddar cheese is different. And also the sugar, because there's sugar.
Oh, yeah.
So she lost it, man. She lost it.
Wow. That's funny.
I think part of it is like, my ear is, I have a very good ear. Part of it is my ear, but part of it is also, when I teach, God always gives me the message. And I write songs the same exact way. I'm always given the message about what that person needs, because my intention is always to serve the person. My intention is always to serve spirit with what is coming from me. So I unplug a certain part of my need to know, need to be right, because I have a strength of character, but I have a desire to unplug my ego enough so that the message can come through. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think that's why I had a successful teaching business in New York for so long, because it was always about getting them, get them to the next level. I think you have to have a certain amount of codependency to be a teacher. You have to have a certain amount of codependency to be a good songwriter, because you want to make it happen for them, whether they are called in to do a song doctor on something, or whether it's a student, and they're so desperate to shift or change or hurting or whatever, or get this gig or get the audition. Or a song, which for me is such a spiritual, I mean, I'm sure it's the same for you, Tomoko, it's like a spiritual journey to find the God sound thing, the sort of divine speaking beauty and singing beauty.
That's amazing. You're such an awesome teacher. That makes me want to take your session, maybe.
You sing great, Tomoko. You're a great singer. You've obviously studied. Who did you study with?
Speech level singing.
Mm.
That was it. So, you know, good doctors will heal you so that you don't have to come back to the clinic, but bad doctors will keep you coming back and give you medicine, right? So only took a couple of sessions with this, not even the top level of the teacher, but I learned so much, and I can take back the CDs. I learned so much. And after that, I didn't even have to go back. And I, after even 6 hours of rehearsal, my vocals cord never damaged.
Nice. Yeah. I think part of being a teacher is that it's the relationship as well. And I think the value in the relationship of being a voice teacher for a student for the long haul, because I do use a methodology that is different from all other teachers that I know of. And that is, it's the same way for pitch and intonation that they teach deaf people how to speak. And even if you listen to them, right? And if you listen to the movie, Children of a Lesser God, they actually have the deaf children singing. Some of them are not there, but some of them are almost there. And it's actually a vibrational methodology that is about resonance and the creation of pitch. And I had like drawings and stuff that I was always doing, these like engineering kind of drawings about how I perceive pitch creation. And it's a lot of very, very different. That's the one thing I think is the unique piece about my work. I mean, I love the yodel. I think the sort of short neck and making sure your head's on your body so the breath pressure can actually really be present for the sound. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Please take a vocal lesson. This is the time. If you don't do it now, via Zoom like this from anywhere, when you're going to do it? So you got the best teacher right here. And buy one, get one free.
That's so nice of you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So before you go, I just want to ask you a last question.
Sure.
Okay. What kind of advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I would say practice more. Practice daily. Write daily, sing daily, look for gigs daily, sing for people, sing wherever you go, sing on the boardwalk like I did last night, sing anywhere for anyone.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences today, Deb. Until we see each other again, sayonara.
Sayonara.
Don't forget to click subscribe and hit the bell to get notified about new videos of Songwriter's Room or my new music or Japanese series. Thank you for watching. Arigato. Sayonara.